Well, good morning. I love the way we started this service, the songs, because I think it really tries to get at the spirit of the Sabbath that I hope to communicate this morning. I'd have you turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5. This is part of the Ten Commandments that are well known to us. And as you know, it's found in two different places. Exodus 20 is one place. And then Deuteronomy 5, which is on page 181 in your pew Bible. This is God's word. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox or donkey or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. And then to Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus gives us these words of invitation. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, I always love listening to the conversation that happens in the fellowship hall, if you can hear it. Sometimes it's pretty noisy in there. But this is one thing, there's lots of things that are talked about in that hall and in the lobby afterwards. But I've never heard anybody here yet, and I've been around here a long time, share with others how many lies they are planning to tell in the next 5 or 6 days. Nobody ever boasts of planning to break their marriage vows by having an affair this week. Nobody talks about how they plan to steal from their boss at work. We just don't publicly go around telling each other how we violate any of the Ten Commandments, except for maybe one. The fourth commandment, the one we just read. Have you ever noticed how we love to tell each other how busy we are and how much work we have to do and how much we still have to do before we can go on vacation and how overwhelmed we sometimes are by the exhaustion of our work? You know, we really, in our culture, admire busyness, speed, productivity, efficiency, and at the same time, we're a little bit envious of those who seem to have all the leisure time in the world. In our tradition, we proudly talk about this Calvinistic work ethic, where the emphasis is on how much we get done. It's kind of a badge of honor that we love to wear. Mark Buchanan, a well-known BC pastor, has written many books, and he's written one on Sabbath rest. And he says that in our culture, busyness is really a fetish, and being still or quiet or restful is considered laziness. We're not very good at resting, Buchanan says. We're good at working, or at least staying busy. But the Bible's idea of Sabbath calls us away from our work to also rest, and not just as a weekly exercise, but as a daily attitude of our heart. Now, many of us have grown up with the idea that if we go to church on Sunday, we have fulfilled the fourth commandment. Worship with fellow believers who grow in the faith by listening to God's word and by having communion together at times delights the heart of God, and it hopefully delights our hearts too. But so does the practice of Sabbath. And friends, let's not just draw an equal sign between church attendance and Sabbath keeping. Because after the service this morning and you drive off the parking lot, the day is yours. And probably for most of you would say it'll be a good day if it includes some family time, some downtime maybe, some leisure time, but also getting ready for tomorrow, for the work week if you're still working and not on vacation, and catching up on some of the things that we just didn't get around to this week. Now, the Bible actually talks about Sabbath as a day of delight, a day free from the pressures and the have-tos, a day of celebration and delight. It's really like a foretaste of heaven. A day when it's over that you can't honestly wait for the next one to come around, because it was a day like no other of the six. It's a day that brings you life, not just a day to veg out or to rest your weary body, not that rest isn't part of it, but a day to intentionally experience all the goodness that life has to offer, and our community has to offer, and God has to offer. Sabbath, friends, is not just another day off or a break in the routine. It's not just a mini vacation that comes around once a week so we have more energy for the next six. It's meant to encounter the delight of God. This day really mimics what God did on the seventh day. You ever thought about this? God rested, not because God was so tired from working so hard and creating, but he wanted to stop and delight and take joy in all that he had created. I was trying to think of an example of this, and what came to mind was the experience that many of you have had, some of you a long time ago, like us, but when you brought your first baby home. You went through this difficult delivery, maybe, and it was a lot of hard work for you as women who gave birth. But then when that baby arrives and he or she is resting at the mother's breast, you just kind of sit in amazement and watch this little life. And you're just mesmerized. And you're just delighting in her. I think that's what God must have felt when he stopped on the seventh day. He looked at the world and said, "Man, she's so beautiful." Or as God put it in Genesis chapter 1, God saw that all he had made, and behold, it was very good. Sabbath is a day to step back and see that life is good. You know, if we work incessantly and continually for five busy days, you probably need a Saturday to kind of chill out, maybe sleep in a little bit, have some downtime, but that's different than Sabbath. Sabbath is the kind of day that leads to life and engages with life. It doesn't wear you out. It isn't just a day where you sleep in, or you sleep the day away, or you don't come to worship or connect with people because you're just way too tired from the busyness of the week. Sabbath is the kind of day where you actually lose track of time because you're just enjoying what God has given you. Now, friends, I need to tell you, I need to confess that I never grew up with that concept of Sabbath. And 20-some years ago, I'm sure I preached a few sermons on this fourth commandment, and I'm sure it was a lot about what you should or should not do on Sunday. I think there's a lot more to it. Some of you grew up in a tradition like I did, where Sunday was a special day, and it was special because it meant there were a number of things you could not do. I remember certain rituals in my home, my mom preparing a big Sunday dinner by doing as much work for that meal on Saturday evening, peeling the potatoes, cleaning the vegetables. The car was washed on Saturday. There was no yard work done on Sunday. And in the early years, when I was quite young, we weren't allowed to ride our bikes or play certain sports or go to the lake. We had Sunday clothes and Sunday shoes. And we framed Sunday by going to church Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And you wouldn't think of going to the store on Sunday because the stores were closed for the most part. Now, some of you are probably thinking, Martin, how old are you anyway? I know many of you can relate to what I've just described. There was much legalism, actually, in how we practiced Sabbath rest back then. There was rest, for sure, but there wasn't much delight. There wasn't much that we found particularly joyful or blessed or good. And quite honestly, if I remember Sundays, they were often pretty boring. But we did know that it was special because, and set apart and different from the other six. Now, the sad part, when I think back of all of that, to all of that, was that it was defined by what you could not do instead of the delightful things that God wants you to do, things that give you life. Now, today our practices are very different. I think we've totally lost the prohibition side of Sabbath, but I think we've lost way more than that. You all came to worship this morning. It's something that's still something we do, though not with the regularity for some of us that we used to have, perhaps. But when you drive off the parking lot in an hour or so after you visited it around here, what are you going to do? You're going to stop at Costco or save on foods to pick up something for lunch or supper because, well, you didn't get around to it yesterday? Or when you get home, are you going to do a little yard work or some laundry or maybe some online banking or catch up on email? And if this were September, some of you would be spending a good chunk of today on the soccer field because you've got two kids enrolled in soccer or some other sport. Now, hear me correctly. There is nothing wrong with any of what I've just mentioned. Nothing at all. But these things in and of themselves are not good or evil. But here's the question. Do they give you the kind of delight when you're doing them that reminds you deeply of God's generous goodness? Or are they just really part of the same rat race that we live the other 6 days? What is different about this day? I think for many of us today, there's a kind of restlessness that permeates our Sabbath or Sunday experience. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann says that our restlessness basically stems from the idea that you need to sink or swim by your own effort. It's not simply good enough to tread water, not even for one day. There is no free lunch, as you know. We live in a consumeristic culture that keeps on saying, you need more, you don't have enough. You need to add to your lifestyle. You need a new car. You need to kind of update that house you've been living in for 20 years. You don't have enough for retirement yet. We live in a culture that looks a lot like the slaves, like the nation of Israel in Egypt, where Pharaoh kept looking every day over the production sheets and kept telling his staff, we need more bricks. We need to build more buildings. We need higher quotas. An Israelite slave in Egypt never had the feeling that at the end of a back-breaking day, he had done enough. He was just a little nobody in Pharaoh's big economic machine, and it was never enough. Well, today's consumeristic culture tells us the exact same thing. You all need new and improved. Many parents in our culture communicate that to their kids, too. We want our kids to be involved in all kinds of things, music, sports, volunteering, and it's good for them, and it stretches them. But it also looks good on the resume for university or scholarships. There's a restlessness everywhere. The big debates in our province right now and in our country about housing prices and pipelines is everywhere. The environment, refugee quotas, all of this, friends, plays into our sense of restlessness, this sense that we don't have enough for ourselves, that we may just lose out on things if we don't aggressively go, go, go. Everything today in our culture is measured in terms of whether it contributes to the GDP or not. So how do you get off that treadmill? Well, if you go to Exodus chapter 12, and you may want to quickly look there, you will see that God, in a very dramatic way, sets his people free from this life-sucking way of Pharaoh by leading his people out of Egypt into the wilderness. Not only is it a tremendously dramatic rescue operation, but then it takes 40 years of Israel wandering in the desert to get used to a totally different life. The production machine of Egypt was all they knew. And that's why at Mount Sinai, when God gives the Ten Commandments and this fourth one, you notice this is the only one which starts with the word remember. Remember that it wasn't always this way. Remember, Exodus 20, by the way, is different than Deuteronomy 5 because it takes us back to creation. Remember, says God, way back from the beginning, I wanted you to enjoy rest. And our Sabbath, our Sunday today, our day of rest, is a reminder of that. And friends, we need to be reminded because much of the crazy busyness of our lives today is really as old as Pharaoh's Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me, says God, including the god of money and production at all costs. God comes into that system of restlessness, of always needing more, and he offers us some relief. Relief from anxiety. Relief from always being plugged in and on. Sabbath reminds us that what we do for 6 days a week, for many of us, is not the way God designed us to live. This sense of anxiety that if we don't put in the extra hours, there won't be enough. This busyness that doesn't allow time for God or for those closest to you is not the life that Jesus wants you to enjoy. So when you stop for a day, or even just for 15 minutes in a day, do you ever stop to say, wow, God, thank you. This is really good. This business that you've given me, or the work that supports my family, it's really good. The home in which we live, this is a great place. It's very good. The marriage I have, my children, my family, thank you, God, it's really good. The income we have, maybe doesn't give us all we want, but God, it gives us more than what we need. It's really good. And especially by the world standards, we're in the top 1%. Now, I know there are some people here this morning who have a hard time saying that. Some of you recently have lost spouses, and life is pretty lonely for you. Or you're in a marriage that's not all that it could be. In fact, it's maybe pretty tough. Or you're struggling financially. And I'm not naive enough to say this morning that Sabbath fixes all of that. It doesn't. But friends, it does assume that when you and I are rested and we step back for a moment, we get to see the big picture, not just all the problems. Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek." He didn't say, "Blessed are the poor when you finally reach a certain income level." He didn't say, "Blessed are those who mourn after they've gone through this long grief period of unspeakable sorrow and you finally come through that with the help of friends and maybe some folks in this church." He didn't say, "Blessed are the meek when you graduate from a class in assertiveness training." It isn't that one day you will be blessed when your life is perfect and whole. No, Jesus says, "Blessed are you right now." Not later, right now. Because yours is the kingdom of heaven. We have God's presence with us today. And Sabbath helps us experience that. Jesus says, "I've come to give you life so that you may have it to the full." He says, "Don't worry about life, what you will wear or eat. Don't start worrying about tomorrow, today. Focus only on today." And over, Jesus says to us, regardless of how it goes for us, you've got a Father in heaven who cares for you. You're safe in his care, and we're all right. Don't wait to harvest the joy in your life. You're blessed now already. The kingdom of God is here now. And you get to see a little foretaste every day of God's goodness and faithfulness and nearness, even in the brokenness and pain. Friends, that's what Sabbath is all about. Tomorrow you can deal with your spreadsheets and the bottom lines in your business and those personnel reviews you've been putting off, especially with a difficult employee, and the emails and the doctor's appointments. But you need regular time every week and really every day to stop and reflect on God's goodness. And friends, if that today means for you gardening, to see the beauty of flowers, then I want to tell you, go crazy in your garden this afternoon. If it means getting on your bike and cycling along the Fort to Fort Trail or along the Fraser River, go for it. If it means preparing a special meal or maybe even just a simple gathering of bread and cheese and wine for lunch or supper tonight on your patio or your deck with your phone shut off, so you can focus on each other and on who God is and what he's done for you this week, then you're starting to experience a little bit taste of Sabbath. And friends, I guarantee you, it will be very good. God rested on the seventh day. God didn't show up on the seventh day to check out what he had done. He absented himself from the office. God didn't come to check up on creation, kind of anxious about whether it was all working correctly or not. God had complete confidence in what he had done. In this fruit-bearing, blessing generation creation that he had created. God knows that the world that he holds in his hand has plants in it that will perform, and birds and fish and beasts of the field that do what they do, and all will be well, and all manner of things shall be well. You see, God reminds his people of those realities at Mount Sinai, and again when 40 years later in Deuteronomy 5, they're ready to take the land. And Moses gives them this final reminder. Deuteronomy, I think, speaks especially to us, because God knew, and Moses knew, that the people would be experiencing tremendous prosperity in this promised land, and it would tempt them to forget him. And so it was a command, it wasn't a suggestion. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, setting it apart. Don't think you can cut corners on Sabbath, because number one, you need it. And number two, if you do cut corners, you will forget the Lord your God. And so Jesus says to us today, don't be anxious about your life, because your Father in heaven knows you need all these other things. And if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he'll give you all this other stuff as well. That's what Sabbath rest is about. Now, why is that so hard for us, honestly? Could it be that for some of us, if we stop long enough to be quiet long enough and look deep inside of our souls, we might actually discover a big hole, a deep emptiness? I think some of us may be afraid to rest and be quiet and stop and listen because we fear this emptiness, this void in our lives that work and busyness just cover up. You know, doctors, I was in a doctor's office this week, and I was just amazed at the continual traffic. Doctors, I think, represent people in our culture who never seem to stop. And one doctor confessed that, yeah, it's a go, go, go life. But he said, you know, I constantly face people who are suffering and who face losses. And he says, if I stop to think about that long enough, it would just overwhelm me. So I just keep going. That way I don't have to feel the sadness. Maybe it's not just doctors, but some of us this morning who really don't want to rest because we really don't want to feel how sad we are, or maybe how empty we feel. That we've maybe lost some physical strength or some youthful playfulness, or that some of our friends have died or some have left because, well, we didn't have time for them. Or some dreams that we've held onto for years, we've let them go because they didn't come true. And we're sad about that. Sabbath rest, friends, allows God to minister to you in that kind of sadness. In a way that he can't do when you're always on the run. Sabbath allows us to experience prayer at a way deeper level. It allows us to experience the touch of others, their kindness, their hospitality, their fellowship, their ability to really listen without giving advice. So, as I wrap this up, many of you are looking forward to summer vacation. Maybe some of you are on summer vacation. I want to ask you, what plans do you have for some rest? And we have this day, this Sunday. It comes with amazing regularity every 7 days. So today, what will you do today that will help you live into the blessing and this gift of Sabbath that God has given you? What is it that you could freely do that would bring delight to the heart of God and also to your own? You know, I got to say, we need to be really intentional about this. We need to unlearn some really bad habits of Sabbath breaking and Sabbath cutting corners. I think we need to plan for it. Like a good vacation, it takes some imagination, it takes some getting ready for, it takes for some planning and prep. It takes determination to take the time away. And I think we need to apply that to Sabbath as well. But friends, it's worth it. Your body and your family and your friends will thank you. And you will delight the heart of God when you take full advantage of this gift he gives. God made this day, and it says he blessed it. And when God blesses something, he loads it with the capacity to bless and enrich the lives of others. This day is special because God has placed a special blessing on those who want to embrace this gift. What would it look like if you did that? Sabbath is pretty clear that one of the things includes this rest, and when we live this way, we're actually worshiping, like we're doing right now. So Sabbath and worship fit very well together. Worship brings delight to the heart of God when you come here anticipating what God wants to give you. But friends, there's more. Could it be that this might be a day when you offer simple hospitality, maybe through a cup of coffee or a simple lunch, to members of this community? And keeping the focus now on hospitality, not entertainment, where your house has to be perfectly clean. Last Sunday, very impromptu after the service, some friends said, "Hey, why don't you join us to watch the soccer game?" We PVR'd it. So we met with a whole whack of people that we tend not to visit with very often. It was a delightful time, gathering with folks dressed in orange. What about offering that kind of hospitality to your next door neighbor? People who may be driven so hard by their work that they never seem to relax with people like you who actually believe that enough is enough. You don't always have to go for more. You know, that might actually be the most powerful witness to Christ that you could ever make. Might this day be simply a day to delight in God's creation? I know for me, it would mean that I would love to go paddling this afternoon in my kayak on Indian Arm, or cycling, or walking along Crescent Beach, or exploring some beautiful gardens, or having us go to the art gallery, or just enjoying your own backyard. Might this be a day where you would dare shut off your cell phone for 24 hours, where you would actually fast from checking your email or Facebook, not because it's bad, but simply so you can be fully present to God and to the loved ones in your family, or simply enjoy a little time of solitude? Could you intentionally practice Sabbath differently by being a great witness to those who you work with or who work for you, by having people know that this day is so important to you that you are not going to spend tonight getting ready for tomorrow at the office or at the plant or wherever you work? Could you actually become Sabbath for somebody today, where you're simply there for someone who needs to pour out some of the sorrow and pain and loneliness in their heart, and all you need to do is be with them for a little while? Listen, no fixing, no advising, just being the presence of Jesus to somebody in need, in quietness and in rest. Let them feel God's presence through you. There's probably a lot more examples you can come up with, but friends, as you think about how to live deeply into Sabbath, listen to these words from Jesus again. "Come to me, all you who are weary and tired and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, my teaching, upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's no heavy duty list here of do's and don'ts for the Sabbath, just a quiet, intentional trust that God will provide. "Keeping my Sabbath," says God, "and trust me enough that by resting, you will totally experience my provision, my grace, my joy, in ways that will totally refresh and renew you." Will you try it? Will you start this afternoon? Let's pray. Mighty God, thank you for reminding us again today that to fully enjoy Sabbath as your gift means we need to actively trust you. Lord, forgive us for our coffee table faith that's mostly just for display, or for a Sunday-only faith that's limited to piety when we come to church, or a bookish kind of faith that only lives in our heads. Lord, give us a faith that lives and breathes and walks out the door into everyday life, carrying with it your joy, your delight, your peace and love for all that you have made. Help us resist the lies of our culture that measure everything in terms of money. Help us, God, to see that all we need is in you. Lord, you've given us your Son, the greatest gift. So forgive us for doubting that you will also give us the stuff we need. Knowing that, may we rest deeply today and on our vacation, and may every day have a taste of Sabbath in it. We pray it in your great name. Amen.